Okay,
Sasi's back.
Good evening and welcome to this month's NABBW teleconference that we are certain will enlighten, educate, and empower you. I'd just like, before we get started, to give one instruction, and that would be for everyone to please push the 6 button, and that will mute you so that we won't hear any background noises. So if everyone would be kind enough to do that now, that would be great. Okay, it seems like a lot of people have muted, and there may be more people entering, so we'll hear dings. I'll announce again that people please press the 6 button to mute yourself so we don't have any background noise. And then when the time comes for Judith and Jim to field questions, all we'll have to do is push that 6 button, and we'll be able to hear you. Again, good evening and welcome to the call. I am Dotsie Bregel, and I'm the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is located at www.nabbw.com. And I also founded BoomerWomenSpeak.com, which is BoomerWomenSpeak.com. And that is the number one site for baby boomer women on major search engines. Since launching Boomer Women Speak, I've been connecting, encouraging, and supporting Boomer women on a daily basis, and that's been since 2002, so it's about 5 years. And I certainly have my finger on the pulse of this spirited generation, and I do that by dedicating a great portion of my time to creating opportunities that inspire women to explore their passions and live life to the fullest. And my prayer is to embrace all women and provide them with the means to soar. For the people who are on the call who are not members of the NABBW, we invited Judith and Jim to include their listening audience.
Boomer Women.
Pardon me?
Do you want something to
eat? This is Boomer Women. Do you want to hear this, please?
If everyone would be kind enough to push 6 to... If you're on the call, if you'd be kind enough to push 6, it will mute all background noises. Okay.
Grilled cheese with milk, you mean? Is that what you mean? Yeah, I'd like that.
Hello? Okay, we're going to carry on. So anyway, for the people on the call who are not members, I'd just like to extend a discounted rate of $60 for membership, which is for the year, and it's typically $75. We'd be happy to give you that link if you email me at dots@nabbw.com by this Friday, and we'll send you that link to join at the reduced rate.
And I just wanted to jump in, Sasi, because I've been a member since almost the very beginning, and there are so many benefits to being a member. You provide these monthly teleseminars with experts in very different fields, from business to investing, elder care, all kinds of issues that are of interest to almost everybody. And again, the wide variety of experts that you have contribute articles every month, and there are special offers from the members and the experts ongoing to members, and a wide variety of other benefits that won't take the time right now to go through. But I just want to encourage anybody who's interested, this is a very, very fine organization, and Sasi is so supportive. And she really does look out for her members and gives you every opportunity that she comes across.
Oh, thank you, Judith. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thanks. Okay, just very briefly before Judith and Jim begin, I'd like to give you an update on the Booming Women conferences that the NABBW is sponsoring this year. Fran Harris, who founded the conferences, couldn't be on the call, so I just told her I'd give everyone a quick update and share the good news. The first conference was held in L.A., and it was a big hit. If you haven't seen the video that she sent with the women sharing their testimonials, you need to do so. And if you're interested, you can email me again through the site, and I'd be happy to send you that link. Women left feeling inspired and encouraged to live fuller, passionate lives, and I just have to say, what more can you ask for? So there has been one big change, and I actually think it's a very good one. The conferences will now be 2 days instead of 3, And I believe that that will allow more of us busy boomer women the opportunity to attend. It will also be less expensive because it'll be a shorter period of time. So the cost will be $197 for the whole conference. And if you've already paid and registered for the ones in the future, you'll be happy to know that you'll be receiving a refund. So you can gather more information about those Booming Women conferences that will be held in Chicago, Dallas, and Fort Lauderdale later this year at www.boomingwomen.com. Okay, now I'd like to give you a little more information about how the call will work. If you have not pushed 6 on your phone, we would appreciate you doing that because that will mute the background noises in your home or office. At the end, when Judith and Jim take questions, all you have to do is push 6 and they'll be able to hear you. Okay, let's get started. Husband and wife psychology team, Judith Shervin, PhD, and Jim, who is also a PhD, and is, their team is better known as Judith and Jim, are the best-selling authors of 5 books. They're famous for their ability to dig deep into the heart of what holds people back from achieving their greatest desires while they provide the recipe for permanent release from that internal prison. Their Overcoming the Fear of Being Fabulous programs provide the keys to successful loving and living. As guest experts, they've been on over 1,500 television and radio shows, including Oprah, The O'Reilly Factor, 48 Hours, CNN, Canada AM, The Daily Buzz, and The View. Their main website is www.judithandjim.com, and you can visit them there, read more about their books and their products and everything they have to offer. Okay, Judith and Jim, welcome to the call. It's all yours.
Thank you, Dottie.
You're welcome.
Well, we've all heard about the glass ceiling that women can suffer in the workplace, and there's an even more formidable barrier to women's professional and romantic success that doesn't get talked about very much, and it prohibits women's full expression of their personal power, their personal sense of being in the world. And what is that? It's the unconscious glass ceiling that Jim and I call the fear of being fabulous. After 20 years, that's how long Jim and I have been together, and we have been doing this research and observation, we've seen over and over and over that it's the fear of being fabulous that's to blame for so much of women's frustration, their depression, anxiety, and their general sense that they're still losing out, no matter the women's liberation movement and all of the worldly progress that it achieved. So consequently, most women can't even imagine what it's like beyond that fear of being fabulous. At the same time, to make matters worse, there's the presumption that it's only women who bump into this internal barricade, as if men go about their lives with clear sailing. But over the past 20 years, we've heard many, many women complain, over the past 20 years, we've heard many, many women complain that men don't suffer in the ways women do, because they're convinced that men have all the power and the internal permission to go with it.
So, okay, let's talk about men and their internal permission. Let's think about some film stars, Robert Downey Jr., Charlie Sheen, who battled drug abuse, Mel Gibson, who got tanked and ended up screaming at a policeman on the highway in Malibu. And how about the suicides in the other entertainment industry? Elvis Presley, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Lenny Bruce, for those of you who remember Lenny Bruce, to Boston's lead singer, Brad Delp. And then athletes, Kobe Bryant and Pete Rose. Pete Rose just admitted he was gambling. And then you have the athletes who risk entire careers with steroid use and other drugs. So you may be saying, okay, those guys are all entertainers and athletes, and they're in the public spotlight, and that's what does them in. But we assure you that while the public spotlight may indeed amp up the inner demons of the fear of being fabulous, there are countless everyday men, from medical doctors to truck drivers, to the men living right across the street from you, perhaps next door or up above you in your apartment building, who are also driven to mess up or even destroy their lives by some kind of inner torture what we call the fear of being fabulous, and often at the height of their careers.
So why are so many people unhappy in their lives? It's because the fear of being fabulous is epidemic in our culture. Oh, yeah, it gets talked about once in a while. Sometimes it'll be raised in the school system, some discussion about the lack of self-esteem. But we don't go into depth about what's causing that. And then once in a while there's some kind of superficial, and because it's superficial, it's therefore harmful, self-esteem program that gets developed and used in the schools. And one bizarre side effect of that that you may recall happening in the last few years is the banishment of rewarding excellence in the school system, no longer having an valedictorian at graduation. Think about it. What does that mean? We're not going to reward excellence because we're afraid that the students who don't get awarded are going to suffer an injury to their self-esteem.
Well, that's a mistaken idea, because that self-esteem is something that someone else can give you. That's the idea, that self-esteem is something else that someone can give you, and that someone else's success can't injure your self-esteem. Both sides are false and deeply, deeply dangerous. The fact is, and please remember this, self-esteem, in other words, being fabulous and living a fabulous life, is never granted to you. It is always earned. In fact, it's always gained through the process of winning over your inner demons. And I don't mean winning over by bringing them on your side. I mean winning over by triumphing over them. So to help you do that, and to help you become more participant, to help you become more of a participant in this call, we're going to ask you to do something. And that is bring to mind an area in your life right now that you feel stuck in, someplace right now. And bring that to mind and keep it in mind throughout the call, because you can use that as your point of exploration as we move through the principles and the ideas in the fear of being fabulous, to see how they apply in terms of how you're stuck and what you might be able to do to move on beyond them.
All right, to bring you forward in your own life so that you can get beyond the fear of being fabulous, we're going to answer the following questions. What does the freedom to be fabulous, to be really true to you, what does that feel like? Who do you become when the freedom to be who you really are guides your every move? Think about it. When freedom to be who you really are guides your every move in your private life and out in the world. And we're going to talk about what does success mean when you live true to your fabulous self? And what can you do to progressively move into that freedom on a daily basis? We're going to cover a lot more.
But first things first, since you may not be familiar with our work and therefore with what we mean by the fear of being fabulous, we'll answer some of the many questions we've received on this topic for you while you registered for this call. Making sure that these questions we answer are in a sequence that will make it easiest for you to follow so you can engage in your own inner exploration of moving out beyond the fear of being fabulous. Several people asked us questions about this topic, fear of being fabulous, so we'll use several of them to make sure we lay down the basics before we get to beyond the fear of being fabulous. And to protect your privacy and the privacy of the questioners, we won't use any names or any identifying information.
Okay. Now, this first question is a great example of the type of thing that happened in our growing up years, that happened to both Jim and me. I mean, it's no surprise that this is one of our core issues in the work that we do, because we've had to address our own fear of being fabulous. Now, the questioner writes, and she says, when I was a child, I got many messages from my parents and teachers that I wasn't good enough because I was a girl. Intellectually, I know that this isn't true, but how do I get beyond those deep-seated feelings of fear and anxiety and of not being worthy? Well, first, we want to talk about how common this is and how difficult. Now, think about it. I just said it's common. I just said that it's common for people to tell children they're not good enough. Well, very frequently in our culture, we don't want to think about that. but it's true. So we have to look at how difficult it can be to acknowledge that people who were supposed to have only your best interests at heart, people who loved you as best they could, ended up feeding your mind, feeding into your unconscious mind, false information about who you were and what you could do. Things like, and these are just the commonest examples we could think of, but we've heard such a wide variety. No doubt you can think as you reflect on the issue that you're focusing on during this call, see what you remember being told to you. What came to our mind right away was, you're not going to amount to much. You make me tired. Don't eat that. You'll just get fatter. People like us don't do that. That's what the parents of a client of mine said to her when she said she wanted to go to Europe after high school. So those are just tiny examples of what gets fed into our unconscious mind by people who say they care about us and are trying to care about us as best they can, and that gets fed into our unconscious. They don't know they're doing wrong because it was done to them.
But here's the key message from someone who was telling you or who told you that. The key message is don't be other than we are. Don't be like anybody else but us or different from what would keep you here with us. That is a common experience among people, and it feels like an unidentifiable, unarticulated prison. There's something holding me back, and I don't know what it is. And the fear being fabulous, more than anything else, now listen to this because this is important, more than anything else is your fear of betraying that unconscious command. Your fear of betraying that unconscious command. Now, the woman who wrote and said that she was belittled because she was a girl, she knows the content isn't true. Yet her question is still, how do I get beyond those deep-seated feelings of fear and anxiety and of being not worthy? And here's something to note. You may hear the word deep-seated as S-E-A-T-E-D, as though with regard to a seat, but that's not how she spelled it. She spelled it S-E-E-D-E-D with regard to a seed, these deep-seated questions, these deep-seated issues.
Because they are indeed deeply seated into our very primitive psyche, these beliefs, these unconscious, self-diminishing beliefs, got started when we were tiny, tiny little people before we could even think for ourselves. So they are indeed deeply seated. That's why getting beyond the fear of being fabulous is a deep, inner, seven-step process. And I'll go through those briefly, and since that's not the point of this call exactly, there's other material that we offer that can give you a lot more information. One, recognize that you have been in loyalty to those that lied to you. We call it the love grip.
Number two, feel your reluctance to push past the lies and expose how wrong it all was. I'm going to repeat what Judith said and come back to number two. You are involved in a love grip, and that is the loyalty you feel is based in an act of love, and it's an act of love we generally feel toward, and when we're very young, feel toward those around us. And when we assume and absorb their points of view about us, we take those in as though those are meant for us and for our own good. And so it's based in an act of love we call the love grip. And then you have to recognize and feel your reluctance to push past the lies that you're being told, like, for example, that she wasn't good enough because she was a girl, and expose how wrong it all was. That's the hard part, to expose and see how wrong it all was. Then you know that the only way you can forgive them for doing what they did and the only way you can forgive yourself is to grow past the limitations and the lies that were laid into you. That's really critical. Forgiveness is not a conceptual act. It is an actual behavioral change. If there's no behavioral change, then there is no forgiveness. You tackle one piece of the lie. In this case, she knows that she's not quite good enough as a female. You tackle one piece of the lie at a time. And you have to challenge the fear and the anxiety, because the fear and the anxiety, as we'll develop later, are actually products of the lie.
And she knows that she's quite good enough as a female.
I see what you mean. She knows she's quite good enough, but that doesn't matter because unconsciously she's being trumped by the belief that she isn't good enough.
Right.
Also, you do the thing that will hold you back if you don't do it. So it must be large enough to challenge the lie and your lifelong emotional marriage to that lie. And we're going to say that again, your lifelong emotional marriage to that lie. You are married to that lie like you were married to your spouse if, in fact, you are married. Also, be prepared to weep and grieve, men and women included, because there is a loss of the old identity. Every step of the way out of the fear of being fabulous, there is a sense of loss of the old identity, and it must go. And there will be grieving that accompanies that. And finally, celebrate every triumph, every triumphant expression of who you really are, because everyone is fabulous. By our definition, everyone is fabulous when living in their real truth.
Now, to give you a good idea of what to expect on the other side of the fear of being fabulous, we're going to use your questions and answer them, pointing you to see what it's like beyond your current fear. And we're not just talking theory, as I said. We have worked ourselves with this issue in our lives and with our clients for a combined 50 years of experience between Jim and me. This is an area we know deep and well, personally and professionally.
Okay, so as Judith said, we're going to start with the questions. Here's question number one in this sequence. How do I deal with family members who choose to see me as being less than fabulous? Well, as we said before, in the list of what you have to do, first of all, you have to acknowledge that that's going on. That's not easy, because you have to see those who say they love you as actually not loving you. It doesn't you don't blame them, but they are doing the best they can. But what they are directing toward you is actually keeping you smaller than you are. And beyond the fear of being fabulous, which is the whole point of this evening, beyond the fear of being fabulous, you'll insist, you must insist, that they treat you only with respect, especially if they tend to mistreat you. Otherwise, you'll ignore what they are doing because it's a waste of your precious time trying to correct them, and then you're caught in a loop, and you'll have discovered that they really, really don't want to change. That's another painful discovery. So chances are pretty good that you'll also limit the time you spend with them. A lot of people find that a horrifying statement. My God, what do I do? These people are around me. I've been with them for years. You have to make a choice for life, or you have to make a choice for your full life or a limited life. And that really is a legitimate choice. This is not meant cynically, or I don't mean it ironically. It is a legitimate choice you can make. I will live this way or I will live that. If being beyond the fear of being fabulous is something that you're really interested in, part of what you may have to do is limit the time you have spent and maybe even cut off the time you spend with those that have been in your life and that have helped you construct this particular view of yourself.
All right. The next question is, do you think women fear being fabulous more than men? Well, while it may appear that way, because women still suffer from the belief that they are second-class citizens, it's not something that we've observed to be true. Because, on the other hand, in our culture, men still suffer from the demands put on them by their family and the culture that they have to be on top all the time. They're nothing if they're not winners. They're called wimps or sissies if they're not out there battling in one form or another. In fact, one man wrote us a question with regard to the topic we're speaking about tonight and said that he thought that the word fabulous was the wrong word to use because it was a gay word. And he was quite serious. He said that if he thought of himself as being fabulous, that would make him feel like he was gay. Now think about that. The inner pressure this man lives with that he can't even use the word fabulous without feeling undermined. So beyond the fear of being fabulous, you know that labels are false, that gender is a trap, and you know in the fiber of your being, you know in the core of your identity that you can do anything that is in your power to make it happen. Now, that doesn't mean you can be a professional basketball player if you're 5'2". No, that's not what we're talking about. But you find that what others think is irrelevant. You know that it's not an affirmation or a prayer that is just going to somehow, you know, make you fall into being fabulous. It is instead a cellular knowing, a growth that you've accomplished by moving further and further into what makes you you, what makes you express yourself fully in the world, that gives you the unbridled freedom to go after anything you want, full speed ahead. That's just a flavor of what it's like beyond the fear of being fabulous.
Here's another question, and it pertains to one of the steps in the seven-step process, and that step is do the thing that will hold you back, and it must be large enough to challenge the lie and your lifelong marriage to that lie. We received a question, and it says as follows: what can I do to be a fabulous small business owner? Well, we can't give you a whole list because we don't have the time. But here's a very critical behavior, a very critical choice you can make. Ask for help when you feel stuck. Now, why is that critical? Because when you ask for help, you extend yourself on beyond your own limitations, and those you ask for help from, hopefully, are not embedded in your vision of your belittlement. So they will show you and they will recommend things to you that actually can move you out. They can show you things and recommend things to you that can actually move you outside of your sense of being limited. They can take you where you can't yourself see to go. So what you need to do is implement your larger ambitions, particularly those ambitions that require you to ask. Those ambitions will bring up what you have to deal with to move forward. And don't permit yourself to make excuses. In business, it either works or it doesn't. There are no excuses, and that actually is the beauty of business.
All right, next question is, how does one most effectively deal with, and the questioner has written a formula, perfectionism plus procrastination equals paralysis. Well, I would guess that almost everyone on this call, in one form or another, has felt the curse of perfectionism, which leads to procrastination, which ends you up feeling paralyzed. Think of it this way. Perfectionism was learned when you were much younger and you tried to please people who made demands that couldn't ever truly be satisfied. And those demands may not have been overt. They may have been something you just knew that was in the home, in your environment, it was a demand. And on some level, you knew that you were never going to be able to actually please them. So, procrastination is a fabulous safety valve for that excruciatingly painful awareness that you're never going to be able to live up to the perfectionism that's demanded. So, why bother? Why bother to try? But now, get this, because beyond the fear of being fabulous, you are the only one in the world you need to please. Oh, yeah, you may have a job where you are worried about your boss, but you can change jobs. When you really make a commitment to being beyond the fear of being fabulous, you'll make sure you don't work for somebody who isn't happy with you. And when you're in that state, it's only about winning your race on your terms. You recognize that what's held you back is a loyalty to your deepest desire to love and be loving. But the only way you knew to do it then was to sacrifice yourself in an effort to be perfect. But it always resulted in failure. Those days are over when you move into the freedom to truly be fabulous. Because paralysis is your altar to worship to that futility. Know that. If there's one single thing you take away from this call, it is that when you feel paralyzed, when you feel like you're chasing perfectionism, when you are procrastinating, you are worshiping at the altar of futility. So change your loyalty to pleasing you.
Okay, now, how about you? We ask you to bring an experience or area in your life where you feel stuck now? How does what we've covered now, what we've covered up to this point, apply? For example, if you are a woman, did you learn that you weren't good enough because you were a girl? And even though you may know that that's silly and nonsense, in fact, it still is operative within you? Or are you having difficulty with family members who will not see you larger than you are, will laugh at your ambitions, will mock your desires? Or, for example, you have a small business and you want to be able to extend that business in some way. Or as Judith said, are you the perfectionist who procrastinates into paralysis? You need to use these points that we're bringing up and just look at yourself, because, first of all, the recognition is critical, and then with what we're suggesting, you may be able to see a way in a flash moment of being able to move out beyond where you are. So keep checking yourself out. That's how you are part of this call. So the call doesn't belong to us, and we lecture, but it belongs to you because we're interacting emotionally. All right, here are two more questions that are related, and I'm going to deal with them separately, but the questions are, would I be able to handle it or like it if I got beyond the fear of being fabulous? That's one question. And there's a corollary or a related question, which is, what if I'm not fabulous? So I'm going to deal with both of those. Beyond the fear of being fabulous isn't something that you need to handle. Being in the fear of being fabulous is something you definitely need to handle. But when you get beyond it, it's the freedom to just be you. It's only you at your fullness, at your wondrous best, you're full out into the world doing whatever excites you. Now, if someone is caught, like Judith and I have been, in our own fear of being fabulous, to hear somebody like me say, it's only about you at your fullest, wondrous best, and you're most full out there doing whatever excites you, it just sounds like bull, frankly. It just sounds like bull. These people are just preaching platitudes. These are just things you read in cheap psych books or cheap self-help books. But it's really, really true. It really is true that when you get beyond the fear of being fabulous, it is about you at your fullest expression. And what you find out is your expression keeps growing, and it keeps growing. And you don't have to handle it. Now, you may have to handle this problem or that problem. That in life, that comes up. But it's not about handling you and your insides. And it's more like play, more and more and more. But it's not like play when you're a kid. It's like making your family, your career, your profession, your business, your health super terrific. So the other question. What if I'm not fabulous? Okay, believing that puts your life on the line. Now, you may not die physically, but your soul is dying. Your psyche is dying. Your emotional body is dying. If you believe, what if I'm not fabulous, you are putting your life on the line. And you have to uproot the value you place on that belief. Because it's that belief that you value that is actually the source of your even asking the question. Because you have to uproot it, because what you say is impossible. Everyone is fabulous in their own way. And that's really another truth. That's not another cheap self-help platitude. It is absolutely the truth. And that includes you. But only when you are living true to who you really are. To believe that you are not fabulous is living and breathing a lie.
I just want to add to what Jim said, which is that you are actually a miracle. There has never been another you in all of the history of this planet, and there never will be again. So you have to be fabulous when you're being you, because only you can be you. All right. Now, next question. What if my experience and skills in my craft are not what they should be in order to be fabulous beyond myself? If your experience and skills are not what they should be, you're cheating yourself. You need to get the experience and grow the skills that will take you beyond where you are. That's a practical necessity for everyone who wants to advance. It won't drop on you just by practicing positive thinking, you know, or hoping that the law of attraction will create magic without you getting ready for it. It's not going to happen that way. You have to grow the experience and your skills.
Another question. When I feel fear, what will transform that to motivation? Well, fear arises from within the voice. Let me repeat that. Fear that arises from within is the voice of the lie. It's a symptom of the lie. It's your loyalty to being limited. Wherever you are going that gives rise to the lie and then gives rise to the fear, keep moving in that direction. Your awareness that your fear is a lie, plus your commitment to going forward, is the psychic engine that transforms fear into confidence, into expression and achievement. And when you pursue that, and you ask for help, and you're willing to go forward, and you get beyond the fear of being fabulous, you will have claimed your life and rejoice in owning it on your own terms.
Jim, I just want you to say that again, because I think that is so critical that people understand that, well, I'll just go ahead and say it because I'm just sort of burning with it as I was listening to you, is that your awareness that your fear is a lie, your fear is a lie. And when you add to that, that your commitment to going forward is essential as the psychic engine, so your commitment is hugely powerful. When you commit to going forward, it's the psychic engine, and it's going to transform your fear. And you'll end up being confident, being fabulous, being free to be you. Okay, next question. I'm not beyond the fear yet, but I'm getting there. I can't imagine what it's like not to have the fear. I guess I still have the question, what's it like to be without the fear? What's it like? Doing anything you want to. Calling people for help. Going where you can meet the right people to help you, growing your skills because you love it, being free to do whatever you want to do.
Again, check yourself out. Take a look at how you're responding, what you're thinking. Are you thinking, come on? Then that's the lie speaking. Are you afraid? That's the lie speaking. If you're opening up and relaxing, if this is saying to you, if what you're saying to us in response is yes, then pay attention to what's happening, because that's why we ask you to bring your own experience to the game. Another question. I don't get hooked by other people as often as I used to. Nonetheless, how do I stop from getting hooked in the first place? Well, here's another really important key. The hook is never out there. The hook is never out there. It's only inside of you. That doesn't blame you. That doesn't mean you're wrong or bad. It's just simply the mechanical fact, the emotional mechanical fact. It's inside of you. It's your belief that whatever they're saying about you is true and valid for you. And that's why you're getting hooked. Only you can agree with them. So beyond the fear of being fabulous, you truly will enjoy the freedom to pursue your life without that internal hook, that internal conviction that's looking for a belittlement to hang itself onto. Remember, the hook is never out there. It is only and always inside of you. And it's your agreement with them that causes the hook to hook.
All right. Next, how do you keep from having to continually fight your fear of being fabulous after you learn to recognize it? Once you recognize your fear for what it is, and this is critical again, that fear is a lie. And when you recognize that your fear is a lie, then the fight is over up to a point. The only reason you have to fight the fear is because the fear has power. Once you strip the fear of its power and you see the lie for what it is, that doesn't mean there aren't behaviors and habits that you'll have to overcome. Your permission to be fabulous has been set free. The fight is over. And now you just take yourself forward step by step. As we reviewed earlier, you may run into fear as you move along because it may not be banished entirely yet, but you are smart and you're on top of it and you keep going.
There's an important point to be made here when Judith said the fight is over. There's a difference between fighting internally because you have conflicting intentions and you're struggling and caught between them. So that when somebody says continually fight your fear, yeah, you're in a fight because the lie is working against the truth and there's a conflict going on. But once you recognize your fear for what it is, when Judith said the fight is over, that doesn't mean there won't be conflict, but that internal conflict, that set of conflicting intentions, virtually dissolves, but that doesn't mean that it's over in the sense that there are behaviors and habits that have to be taken care of. So it's really critical to understand that recognizing your fear for the lie that it is extraordinarily powerful.
All right, now we have a question here. How do I stop that nagging voice that says, you don't have the energy to make that happen, when I think of things like getting my book on the best-selling list?
Another question. What techniques do you use to turn off the negative tapes in your head and move forward to realize your dreams?
Well, now, we want you to know that if you are ready to get rid of that kind of nagging, attacking, condemning voice that is in your head that puts you down and makes you miserable, because if you've got the fear of being fabulous, you've got that lousy, nagging, negative voice preventing you from living a fabulous life. And to help you banish that negative head talk, is what we call it, we created a program just to help you do that. It's been tested and proven over and over as a powerfully effective program. We call it Overcoming Negative Head Talk. And if you're ready, really ready, to honor how special you are instead of that negative head talk, just go to our site, Judith and Jim, you have to spell the and, judithandjim.com/overcoming-negative-head-talk. And while you're there, you'll have the option of taking advantage of the companion program, Overcoming the Fear of Being Fabulous. Together, they are dynamite. So for Overcoming Negative Head Talk and Overcoming the Fear of Being Fabulous, very reasonably priced, just go to Judith and Jim, and that's, you have to spell out and, judithandjim.com/overcoming-negative-head-talk.
Okay, I just want to mention that I think someone hasn't pushed the 6 because I'm hearing a little background noise. So if anyone entered the call late and wants to push, if they would be kind enough to push the 6 button, we would appreciate it because that will filter out any background noise. Thanks so much. Okay.
Thanks Dottie.
Yes.
All right, we'll take another question here.
Okay, are you you still have your questions that you're working on, right?
Yes,
and we're not ready to open it up yet.
Right.
No, we'll let you know, Dottie. We've got 3 or 4 more to go.
Okie doke, sounds great.
Okay. This one I really want to pay a little extra attention to because of the way it's worded and what it means. The question is, where are all the good men for all of the evolved women? Now, notice the implication is that there are so many evolved women, but what's missing in action are good men. So I want everyone listening to think about these kinds of presumptions that you may carry around. They may not be about men or women. They may be about other issues. But when you have those kinds of stereotypical thoughts, where did you learn, in this case, where did you learn that you can't have a good man? For example, we have a friend whose mother told her over and over, men won't stick around if you don't keep yourself up. You have to have your makeup on at all times. And notice what the mother was implying. You're not good enough as you are. Men are such that they aren't going to stick around. Another woman we know, her dad would say, any time she would say about her boyfriend that he was good looking, the father would say, is he as good looking as I am? And the implication would be, no man is allowed to be as good-looking as I am. I'm supposed to be the best-looking guy in your life. So there's all kinds of ways that we get taught these peculiar ideas that there aren't any good men around, when in fact the information we're getting is we're not really allowed to have a good man. So just be suspicious of that kind of thing.
Two more questions, and then we will wrap it up. These are two business questions. The first question is, how do you rebuild trust after being in a bad business relationship that took advantage of you taking the higher road? How do you rebuild trust after being in a bad business relationship? No one takes advantage of us without our permission and our cooperation somehow. So if you want to build trust, you have to recognize your participation in the bad business relationship, and that recognition sets the ground for trusting yourself. Because you did not trust yourself, you got yourself into a situation where you could not see, and the other person may have been malevolent, I'm not denying that, but you managed to work yourself into that relationship, so there is some kind of unconscious cooperation. When you recognize your participation, that sets the ground for you to trust yourself, and that's the only step you need to take, because when you do that, you'll be better and wiser the next time, because trust resides in you first, and then it resides in partners afterwards. And the second question is as follows. I would like some assistance in being at ease with stating my worth as a consultant in the health field. I have no doubt about my knowledge or skills as a practitioner. However, the issue of actually comfortably stating my worth is an ongoing struggle. That's a struggle for a lot of people in the health and the helping fields, because there is some sense that to be a helper is somehow, I don't know, priestly or priestess-like, and you're not supposed to be paid for it. But it sounds to me, again, like what's being asked here is, it sounds like by the word worth, you mean the word money, by being comfortable charging for your services. If you have a truly beneficial solution to someone's problem, they would gladly pay you for it. Take a look at your own insecurity with respect to what you think you're worth. Because your dis-ease has to do with your self-regard or your lack of self-regard, which produces your discomfort. So remember a time when you needed help and someone provided it to you. Someone genuinely provided you help. If you paid them money, was it worth it? And if not, would you have paid them if they had asked? Because if you're honest with yourself, the answer has to be, of course, yes. And that's the very yes you can apply to yourself as you stand confidently in your own worth, able to announce it and accept it and receive it as the legitimate expression of the exchange of your value for their money, because that's the fundamental exchange in that process.
All right. We want to thank you all for sending in your questions. We weren't able to answer all of them, but we chose questions that would give a wide variety and hopefully synthesize the picture we want you to have of what it's like beyond the fear of being fabulous. And we can tell you from our own journey, Jim's and mine, on to the other side of that fear of being fabulous, that then you've left home. You have psychologically and spiritually left the past behind, and you've cleared out your impulse to cater to others at your own expense. So then you don't waste time with people who don't appreciate you. You don't put up with being put down. You're filled with energy and excitement because you're doing what you love to do. You're clear about who you are, and that's what you put out to the world, who you are, who you truly are, so that like-minded people like you, can see you and make connection, leading you to more and more of what you want with more and more people who are thrilling and exciting and wonderful to be around. And your heart and soul are open to receiving all that is rightfully yours. And with that, we want to congratulate you for your commitment to overcoming the fear of being fabulous.
Okay, Dotsie, we're ready to take calls and questions if you want to open the line.
Okay, sure. First, I just want to make a comment that I appreciate you saying that there is the continual fight. And, you know, we are you know you're on the path and you're always on the path and you're being fabulous and there's more to being fabulous, but there are often the doubts and the concerns and the little fears that pop up.
Sure.
But the more you do it, the more capable you are of doing it again and saying no to those voices, like the negative talk, and just the more you do it, the more I believe you are open to being even more fabulous. So it's just, it's an ongoing process. But once you're committed to it, it works tremendously.
And not only that, Dasi, but once you're committed to it, when you're not committed to it, it goes, of course, much more slowly, and the steps are incremental. Once you're committed to it, you can actually leap. It doesn't mean you leap into some dimension where you're no longer human because you
right.
still have whatever struggles you put up with. But when you leap, you can leap forward. The pleasure of it is so noticeable, and it creates more and more confidence.
Absolutely. And then the snowball just keeps getting bigger.
And just yeah, like you, Dasi, I'm going to say this about you. What you decided to do was start Boomer Women, and you have. And I'm sure in the beginning you might have scratched your head a couple of nights and said, why did I do this? What have I got myself into? But with more practice and more commitment and more diligence, you have this wonderful organization, and we applaud you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're
I
welcome.
Appreciate that. Okay, if anyone has a question at this point in time, please push the 6 button, and Judith and Jim will be able to hear your question. Does anybody have a question they'd like to ask? Okay, I find that hard to believe. Maybe you all did a tremendous job of covering the information, but I am really surprised. Okay, we'll give another opportunity to ask questions, and then Judith and Jim, if you have anything else you want to cover, you're welcome to do so. Is there anyone on the line who'd like to ask a question?
Or make a comment. Doesn't
it or or even make a comment is absolutely fine.
Hey, Jim and Jude. This is a great call. This is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael. Michael, where are you from?
I'm living in Oregon.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Well, I've taken your copywriting course.
Yes.
Oh, Michael Kelly.
Hi, Michael Kelly.
Hello, sir.
Hello to you. Thanks so much for your presentation. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you being on the call.
You bet. Even though I'm not a gal, it applies to all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. One does not have to be a gal to have this issue.
I have to
Good
say,
hearing from you, Michael.
Yeah, and I have to say I appreciate the fact that men are on the call and are interested in this topic. That's great.
Yes, and it's also really important for women to know that men struggle with this issue as well, because truly there are, you know, so many women who suffer from the belief that it's only women, and it doesn't allow them to see men in their own right.
Right, right. Okay, do you have any other comments, Judith and Jim, and then we'll ask one more time for questions?
I'd like to say something.
Please.
This is Georgia.
Hi, Georgia.
Hi. I hope that you will tell the listeners that how they can hear this later if they missed part of it, because I know I had one friend that was not going to be able to hear it tonight, but she really wanted to. You might call her a groupie of Jim and Judith. So could you tell us or tell everybody how we can hear this later on?
We will, for everybody two sides. Dasi, you'll be making it available to your members.
Absolutely. We'll be sending, well, we used to send it immediately, like the next day. But what we learned from a couple members was that they did not have the ability to listen on their computers. So we've added the benefit of having these teleseminars put in PDF formats, which means that now members can read the teleseminar also. So we need to give the gal who does the transcriptions for us a little time to get these done. So we will send her the transcription tomorrow as soon as she gets it transcribed. We will then send either the end of this week or next week to all of the NABBW members the transcription and the link to listen online. And then Judith and Jim will also give you the same, and you're welcome to forward that to your listening audience.
Right, exactly. We will make sure that everyone who was registered, that we know was registered, will receive that information from us. And so, Georgia, in terms of the woman you know, if she wasn't registered, if you'll please pass that on, we would appreciate it.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Judith and Jim, anything else you want to add this evening?
I just want to thank you, Dotsie, for having us on, and thank everybody for being on the call and taking this subject seriously and taking it to heart, because, Jim and I have suffered a lot in our earlier lives, and we both walked away from acting careers that could have been huge because we had just fierce fears of being fabulous that we knew nothing about. And so we really are always encouraged when people take this subject seriously and use it to break free in due time from the restrictions they've lived with.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I just want to encourage everyone to visit Judith and Jim at judithandjim.com. They'll be happy to answer any of your questions through the site. And that's about all we have for this evening. So thanks again for being on the call. And Judith and Jim, thanks so much
for putting together a great presentation.
Okay. I appreciate it. Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.